Johanna and I yesterday were on our way to a party, and we were on the tube travelling from East London on the Jubilee line, and I noticed a couple of young boys, maybe 8 and 10, and I gave up my seat to one of them and then knelt down in front of Johanna, and we were doing some drawing. We were drawing in a card for the people whose party we were going to. And I heard a commotion behind me. I turned around and found that this man had had a cardiac arrest. In other words, his heart had stopped beating. He'd stopped breathing, started to froth. He'd clenched his mouth and began to keel over. And every arrest I've attended in hospital, there's been others more qualified than me. Never had to take too significant a role. But yesterday I knew that on the Jubilee line, this guy was not going to get any better than me, a non-practicing. Not only am I a non-practicing doctor, I might well be a never-practicing doctor. But this guy, I was as good as he was going to get. And so his wife, who was with him, she told me that he'd had a heart attack in the past. Not that it would have made too much difference, because I'll tell you a bit later, what you do with someone in that situation is the same, whatever their condition. It's very simple. It's A, B, C, D, E. And the students will all know, but I'll come back to that very shortly. But I remember him beginning to turn blue and just calling out to God in my spirit. And then began to cough, and he vomited, and I knew that we'd got his heart started again. And a nurse came along to help, which made it easier. Then a practicing doctor also came along. And then shortly afterwards, the ambulance crew arrived. And I didn't really want to mention that story, and I was going to preach on something else today, but I did think that God was convicting me, and I believe challenging all of us, of the need to be prepared. And in that context, I'm going to read. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 25. If you're new to this church, you're excused, but if you're not, you'll know that the storeroom we have, maybe you don't know, but the storeroom we have is not very large. We don't have enough room to store Bibles for everyone. So if you come regularly to this church, at times the verses will appear on the screen, but not always. So I'm encouraging you to come prepared to church with your Bible. And this parable is the one that we're going to act out together shortly. It's Matthew 25. It's the first 10 verses. A parable that Jesus told. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." For what do we need to keep watch? For what do we need to be prepared? 1, to meet Jesus. And 2, to help others to meet Jesus. 1, to meet Jesus ourselves. And 2, to help others to meet Jesus. And now for the activity. I brought back from Pakistan 10 lamps. They're not lamps as you know them. And I'm going to give 5 to those in the first 3 rows. And then 5 to those in the back 3 rows. Anyone from the back 3 rows? Please distribute those among you. And then I've also got cotton wool. Some for the first 3 rows. Some for those in the back 3 rows. And then I have oil for those in the first 3 rows only. So I'd like you to distribute amongst yourselves and see if you can, without hopefully setting off the smoke alarms, get the lamps to work. Go. Let me give the same instructions to both of you. Put a little bit of oil in the bottom of the lamp, if you have oil. Then take a little bit of cotton wool. Can I have a dry piece of cotton wool? And make the cotton wool into a wick. And then soak the whole of the wick in the oil. And then I've got matches. So they're the instructions, but only the front 3 rows have oil. So if you're in the back 3 rows and you want some oil, you can ask, but don't forget your script is according to Matthew 25. You can ask, but you'll get the same answer that the 5 in Matthew 25 got. So a little bit of oil. In the bottom, soak the whole of your wick. And if you're in the back 3 rows, you can have matches. Thank you. And if you're in the front 3 rows, you can have matches. Shelley, 1 minute. Do you want us to light it all at once? If you've got questions, come and ask me or ask from where you are. Do I want you to light them all at once? It's up to you. Can you get oil? You can ask, but your answer will be the same as in Matthew 25. Do you have to go and buy? Possibly. Jez. The church olive oil is in my pocket, and it is staying in my pocket. the mustard oil I brought back from Pakistan is staying with Daniel. You can ask him, but he'll give you the same answer as the five received in Matthew 25. Any need the matches at the back? Anybody want some matches at the back? You can switch them. Okay, I'm seeing light at the front, but I'm not. Anybody got light in the back three rows? No? We don't often have power cuts in the UK, but there were power cuts while I was in Pakistan, and we used lamps like these to give us some light. Yeah. So when you came to church this morning, I guess you didn't expect to need oil. You may have become accustomed to the scripture verses appearing on the screen and not expected to need your Bible. But it's always good to have a Bible. It's always good to have a Bible, especially because we never know whether God is going to call us to give spiritual resuscitation to somebody. I've been trained in both physical, medical, and spiritual resuscitation. And if God had called me yesterday on the tube to give spiritual resuscitation to the Polish guy, Pekka, is as much as I got of his name, then I hope I'd have been just as willing to give that spiritual resuscitation as I was to give the medical. So we need to be prepared for, one, our own meeting with Jesus, and two, for our assistance in helping others to prepare for those, for their own meeting with Jesus. If we were to meet Jesus now, what would he say to us? What would we say to him is one question, but I think perhaps more importantly is what would he say to us? Would he say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or would he say, "Get away from me, I never knew you"? And let's not forget that when Jesus said that he would address some with the latter, "Get away from me, I never knew you," he was talking to those who considered themselves part of the church. So are we prepared to meet Jesus? We talked earlier, we welcomed Asanga and Sonia into church membership, and we talked about membership of the church, but God knows the state of each heart, and we can't hide behind membership of one church or another when Jesus calls us to give account for our relationship with him and how we've responded to God's offer. We may be surprised on the day of judgment with those who receive the "well done, good and faithful servant," and also surprised with those who are told to "get away from me, I never knew you." We each one, whatever our position or membership within this church or any other, need to consider what God will say to us when he calls us to give account. And the second aspect of watching out, keeping watch, not knowing the day or the hour. The second aspect is helping others. We don't know when we'll be called upon. I didn't expect when I was on the tube yesterday to have to recall what I'd been trained in a few years previously. We never know when we'll be called upon to share our faith with others. I mentioned the A, B, C, D, E earlier, but I'm going to give you another five-step process for spiritual resuscitation. If you've done Bible school, you'll know it as the Romans Road. I'm just going to quote five verses from Romans, and these will appear on the screen. Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord." Romans 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10, verse 9, "That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans is rich in verses, and you might know a variation to that Romans Road, the steps that I've given you. And people in different places might need different steps. But the point is, to get from one side of a river to another, you have to use various stepping stones. And I've found these five steps on the Romans Road to be helpful in leading someone to faith in Jesus. The ABCDE medically, again, ask any of the students or doctors here for more information, is something that you use regardless of the cause of somebody's ill health, somebody's almost near-death state. It's airway, breathing, circulation, disability, and exposure. And you use the same five steps. Whatever the situation you're faced with, that's what goes through your mind, and that's what you determines what you do. But just as I knew yesterday that my job was to resuscitate Pekka, to keep him breathing until the ambulance crew arrived with medication and more equipment than I had, in the same way, you don't need to be a pastor or a small group leader. You don't need to be consider yourself well-trained to disciple somebody in order to bring them to spiritual life. What you might have to do, if God calls you to do it, on a tube train, on your way to work, even perhaps when you're on holiday and least expecting it, is to get someone's spiritual heart beating and then pass them on to someone trained to disciple them. And the Romans Road is one way that is useful to get their spiritual heart beating, to take someone through the steps. All have sinned and fallen short. The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. And what does that salvation give us? It gives us, through justification by faith, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can pass them on to somebody perhaps better trained to disciple them. But just before you think this is all you need to do, the reason that we're going through the purple books, for those of you new to the church or visiting us, we're going through purple books, a discipleship book, in our small groups. And the reason that we're doing that is so that each one of us can be trained to disciple somebody else. We don't have to be a member of the church for a certain number of years or achieve a certain standing or position of leadership within the church before we can disciple somebody else. The reason that we're going through those books is so that each one of us can disciple somebody else. Just one more verse before we have communion together and then worship some more. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. This will appear on the screen. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God's looking throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are committed. We received a word a few months ago from a mother of a couple within the church that we needed to have undivided hearts. God is looking for hearts that are fully committed to him. God isn't looking for the best evangelist, the most well-trained or competent doctor, the most knowledgeable scientist, the best parent, mother or father, the most diligent student, the most competent accountant, the most eloquent preacher. God is looking for hearts that are fully committed to him. When I was taught to resuscitate when I first joined St. George's in 2001, I wasn't the best student. I had to be tested twice. Even worse than not being a good student is someone who's a bad teacher, and I had a bad teacher. But she was willing to teach, and I was willing to learn. God isn't interested in finding those people who are most competent, those who have more skills than others. All the skills and gifts that we have are God's, and he gives them to us as we need them. God is looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. If God gives you a word to share, even in the next few minutes while we have communion, if God gives you a word to share, even if you don't understand it, even if it may appear to make you seem silly, be prepared to share that word. The reason I have a small Bible is so that I can carry it in my pocket, so that I can carry it to read it for myself if I have to wait unexpectedly, but also so that I can share from it with others. The reason that I've memorized a few verses of Scripture is so that if I don't have this Bible to hand, I can take someone through that Romans road along the path to salvation. So be prepared. Carry a Bible, big or small, but carry a Bible. Read it. Memorize it so that when you don't have it or it's not appropriate to bring out a book, you can still impart life by sharing God's word. And pray in the Spirit when you're waiting for a bus, when you're listening to a lecture, whatever it might be that you're doing. Be prepared. All of us are being prepared by God for the works of service that he has already planned in advance for us to do. God knew, long before I knew yesterday, that Johanna and I would be on that particular tube line. We hadn't planned to use it. We didn't use that line on the way to East London to watch John, my brother, in a play. But we did use it on the way back because of the party we were going to. Didn't realise when I gave up the seat for the young boy that a few minutes later, I'd be attending to his father. God has prepared for each one of us good works in advance for us to do. And God always, always provides for those he calls. He never leaves us short. He never calls us to a work without providing us all that we need to fulfill that which he has called us to. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to have communion together. God, we thank you that you are a good God, that you do not leave us short, but God, you give to each one of us, each of your children, all that we need to fulfill that which you've called us to. to do. God, we thank you for your word which feeds us and nourishes us. God, we thank you that you speak to us today through your word. And Holy Spirit, you speak directly to us. Thank you for the knowledge you have of each one of us. You know the language that we understand most clearly. God, thank you that you have destined for each one of us a day when we will be called before you. God, we pray that not one of us in this room will be left short, will be gone in search of oil because we weren't prepared. If there is anyone here who knows that if they were to have that conversation with Jesus now, you wouldn't be prepared, then please just indicate. God can be preparing even today.